In a world haunted by tourists and crippled by mass transit delays, where the outlook is bleak and creativity has been sapped, two artists will unite their passion and dare to strip away the bullshit and talk about movies. Movies in the Buff.
My dear madam, I'm quite at a loss to discover in what point I could be so unfortunate as to offend you. My esteem for your family is very sincere, but if I have given rise to a belief of more than I felt or meant to express, I shall reproach myself for not having been more guarded. My affections have long been engaged elsewhere, and it is with great regret that I return your letters and the lock of hair which you so obligingly bestowed upon me. I am, etc., John Willoughby.
Oh, Marianne. Dearest. It is best to know what his intentions are at once. Think of what you would have felt if your engagement had carried on for months and months before he chose to put an end to it.
We're not engaged.
But you wrote to him. I thought then he must have left you with some kind of understanding.
No. He's not so unworthy as you think him.
Not so unworthy? Did he tell you that he loved you?
Yes. No. Never absolutely. It was every day implied, but never declared. Sometimes I thought it had been, but it never was. He has broken no vow.
Yes, he has broken faith with all of us. He made us all believe he loved you.
He did. He did. He loved me as I loved him.
I had to come straight up. How are you, Miss Marianne? Oh, poor thing, she looks very bad. Tis no wonder, Miss Dashwood, for tis but too true. I was told in the street here by Miss Morton, a very great friend. He is to be married at the end of the month to a Miss Grey with £50,000. Well, said I, if tis true, then he is a good-for-nothing who's used my young friend abominably ill, and I wish with all my soul that his wife may plague his heart out.
All right, shall we do this?
Let's do it.
All right, welcome everybody to our first month.
I was like, did you forget the name of the podcast?
You did. No, I always remember. I always forget like what month we are in and what week we're in.
Right.
Like, and because now we're in a new year.
For all they know, this is August.
Right. Right. True. Who knows?
We record out of order so often.
Oh, I know. Yes. So let me take that again. Welcome to the first month of the first year. I just can't have any pauses. No dramatic pauses.
No dramatic pauses?
Give you pause.
We're both doing paw gestures. This is going great.
Off to a great start. Yeah, we're doing Kate Winslet this month.
Yes.
Take two. We are reviewing... Damn it. We are reviewing... No. We're discussing, we're watching a lot of Kate Winslet movies this month.
There we go.
And talking about the movies that she's in. Oh, man. Well, we're also doing a new whiskey this month.
Yes.
Brett, what are we doing for whiskey?
Let's see. We picked this up recently.
Let's see. I don't know. Just grabbed a bottle and...
Whatever.
This is tequila.
You don't know. You don't know.
I'll tell you when you've had enough.
You'll tell you if you've had my enough. No, this is Russell's Reserve Kentucky Straight Bourbon Whiskey. It's a 10-year-old bourbon, and it looks and tastes and smells delicious.
Yeah, it has a nice, like, maple-y color to it. Which looks
notes
good.
Of pear.
Mmm.
Which is not something you typically hear with the bourbon.
No.
Normally you're like caramel and maple and... You know, oak and charcoal and
alcohol,
vanilla, things like that.
Right.
Yeah, alcohol.
Alcohol. All right. Well, cheers it up.
Cheers. That is fruitier than a lot of bourbons that we've had. It actually reminds me a lot. It's a lot closer to Stranahan's than most bourbons.
Yeah. Interesting. Interesting.
Not
flavor.
Your favorite?
No, I don't know yet. The jury's still out. I'm like... It wasn't what I was expecting. I don't know. There's like an extra...
there's like a smoky kind of like mesquite typeness to
yeah
it.
Yeah, that I wasn't expecting. That's very good. I like it. Cool. The next part of this episode.
Doop doop doop.
Dirk and Dirk. Hey, we just had like 3 weeks off. We had Christmas, New Year's.
Traveled all over the country.
Traveled all over. My sister got engaged. Congratulations.
Congratulations.
I have a new future brother-in-law who I'm still guilt tripping to trying to listen to this podcast. So if you're listening, congratulations, but you're probably not.
What a bum.
What a bum. Hey. Ayo, hey!
Hey, I'm a jokester!
So, as I do with the other months that we've, like, picked a person, an artist, I do think it is interesting to get to know them a little bit because it shows through their work. And so I just found a little selection of, like, kind of Kate Winslet's life up until Sense and Sensibility time. So, if you'll indulge me, Brett just poured like another three glasses. He's like, oh, God.
Just took my pants off. Yeah,
it's that type of night.
It's Movies in the Buff, baby.
In the title. Okay, so Kate Elizabeth Winslet was born on October 5th, 1975 in Reading, Berkshire, England.
Probably Reading.
In Reading, Berkshire. Reading, Berkshire, England.
Oh, God, you're the worst.
You know, the reader, Reading. No, you're right. It's Reading.
I was like, I'm like 90% sure it's Reading.
It's true. To Sally Ann and Roger John Winslet. Her mother was a nanny and waitress, and her father, a struggling actor, took laboring jobs to support the family. Her maternal grandparents were both actors and ran the Reading Repertory Theater Company. Winslet has two sisters, Anna and Beth, both of whom are actresses, and a younger brother, Joss. The family had limited financial means. They lived on free meal benefits and were supported by a charity named the Actors Charitable Trust, which I imagine would be the equivalent in the U.S. as the Actors Fund.
Fund, yep.
Associated with Actors Equity. When Winslet was 10, her father severely injured his foot in a boating accident and found it harder to work, leading to more financial hardships for the family, though Winslet said that her parents always made them feel cared for and that they were a supportive family. Living in a family of actors inspired her to pursue acting from a young age. When she was 5, Winslet made her first stage appearance as Mary in her school's production of The Nativity. I thought that was a great little choice. I'm like, oh yeah, we've all been in. I've been a shepherd a couple of times, I'm sure. Maybe Joseph once, I don't know.
Go, 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 Joseph, you know what they say.
Oh boy. Don't get me on that train.
All right. Shana Nacho. Yeah, this isn't musical month. We're done.
No, we are done with musical month. John will not be singing this month.
I find that hard to believe.
I have some questions.
You're here.
I was like, Celine Dion is featured at least once.
She has described herself. So this is a. I should like bring it down because this is serious. She's described herself as an overweight child. She was nicknamed Blubber by her schoolmates and was bullied for the way she looked. She said that she did not let this defeat her. Winslet was accepted into the Red Roofs Theater School in Maidenhead. The school also functioned as an agency and took students to London to audition for acting jobs. She appeared in a Sugar Puffs commercial and dubbed for foreign films. She then was in, at her school, Alice and Alice in Wonderland, Lion, Witch and the Wardrobe, Wendy Darling and Peter Pan. While she was in school, she worked simultaneously with the Star Maker Theater Company in Reading. She participated in over 20 of their stage productions, but was rarely selected as the lead due to her weight. Which is just fascinating. In 1991, so just to put this in perspective, Sense and Sensibility comes out in 95, right? That's where we're at in 95. So 4 years earlier, 91, within 2 weeks of finishing her exams, Winslet made her on-screen debut as one of the main cast members of the BBC science fiction TV series Dark Season. She played the part of Reet, R-E-E-T, a schoolgirl who helps her classmates fight against a sinister man distributing free computers to her school. At 16, because of lack of funds, she forced Winslet to leave Red Roofs. To support herself, she worked at a deli. In 92, she had a small part in a television film, Anglo-Saxon Attitudes. So she then took on the role of the young daughter of a bankrupt middle-aged man, played by Ray Winstone, who we remember from
Departed. Dude, yep. That guy.
Awesome, right? When I saw that, I was like, oh, that would be awesome. in a television sitcom called Get Back. That was 92-93. And then she had a guest role in 93 episode of the medical drama series Casualty. So, like, just bit roles of just a... And now it's like three.
Yep.
Then Peter Jackson gave Winslet her first film role as a teenage murderess in Heavenly Creatures. Exactly. So Winslet was among one of 175 girls to audition for Peter Jackson. It's a New Zealand... That movie is about the Parker Hulme... H-U-L-M-E, a murder case of 1954 in which Winslet played Juliet Hulme, a teenager who assists her friend, Pauline Parker, in the murder of Pauline's mother. So it's a true story about that. A nice, light...
That's bananas. Yeah. I've never seen that.
Me either. I'm interested to see that. Especially Peter Jackson, like, be interesting to see some of his earlier work. Apparently, the experience left Winslet traumatized because they shot all of it, like, on location at the actual places that all this stuff happened.
Oh my gosh.
She found it difficult to detach herself from the character and said that after returning
she's
home...
She's only, what, 20 at this point?
Less than that. I mean, she was born in 75.
So she
and
was 20
is,
when it came out. Right. 19 when it came out.
Right.
And so her she's first, a teenager.
And her first thing, big thing.
Yeah.
Like, she's going from Wendy Darling to that.
And her high school with, production.
Right, right, right. Exactly. To from Sugar Puff commercials to this. Like, yeah. Boom. Yeah, she often cried when she came home because it was hard for her to detach. But as is the theme with Kate Winslet, it was a critical breakthrough. While promoting Heavenly Creatures in L.A., Winslet auditioned for the minor part of Lucy Steele in Sense and Sensibility. Emma Thompson, impressed by her reading, cast her for the much larger part of the recklessly romantic teenager Marianne Dashwood.
Yeah, much larger.
Yeah. Pretty significantly larger.
Yeah.
And also the one that Emma Thompson was going to be, like...
Acting
with the whole time.
Yeah.
Like, pretty incredible. The director, Ang Lee, wanted Winslet to play the part with grace and restraint, and thus asked her to practice Tai Chi and read Gothic literature and learn to play the piano. We're going to get to this. It's a good lead in here. But for Sense and Sensibility, she won the Screen Actors Guild and BAFTA Awards. And received nomination from the Academy Awards. So this is her second movie ever, and she got a nomination for the Academy Award. Unbelievable!
Cranking them hits.
And this is something that I realized like not too long ago. I was at work and I was rewatching a movie on HBO, and that movie is called A Kid in King Arthur's Court. Do you remember that movie?
Yes.
Kate Winslet is in that movie, and she plays like the kid that falls in love with. She's like King Arthur. She's Guinevere.
That's
essentially
funny.
So that also came out the same year as Sense and Sensibility.
Great.
Was not nominated for an Oscar for that.
No.
So that's 1995. Winslet had two roles in two period dramas in 1996, Jude and Hamlet. After unsuccessfully auditioning for Kenneth Branagh's 94 film of Frankenstein.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. The casting went to Helena Bonham Carter.
Yep.
Winslet was cast for Ophelia in his Hamlet.
Ophelia!
And now Winslet is 20 years old. She said that, like, she was very intimidated by performing next to, like, Branagh and all those people, but had a great critical success with her Ophelia.
Yeah.
And then 97 is Titanic. Boom, instant star. Now she's a star.
Yeah.
So that's what leads up to, like, this kind of, like... Sense and Sensibility really is like her first thing.
Her arrival.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
Absolutely. So
I thought that was really cool. I think it's cool to see that. And I think this idea of how close she was with her family and, you know, it's saying that, you know, her family was always poor but very supportive and her parents never made her want for anything and this and that. I think that's something that we'll see throughout her stories. Sense and Sensibility.
Yeah. Let's get into it.
All right. Here's your synopsis. This is not good. Oh, my God. This is awful. Okay. This is written by John Reeves.
This is awful. It was also written by this guy.
Yep. Just because he needs to have all the credit for this. Rich Mr. Dashwood dies, leaving his second wife and her three daughters poor by the rules of inheritance. The two eldest daughters are the titular opposites.
gross.
Sense and Sensibility. Titular.
Oh my god. It's terrible.
I mean, that's like, great. So this guy watched the first 5 minutes of the movie.
Yeah.
And then was like, oh yes, I know what this movie's about.
What a bum.
What a bum. John Reeves.
Let's completely reduce Jane Austen's, like, one of her most famous novels to, oh my lord.
Yeah.
Whatevs.
So, yeah, I mean, yeah, Tom Wilkinson dies in the beginning.
Yeah.
Which I was like, hey.
I was like, hey, that's Tom Wilkinson. I like Tom Wilkinson. Yeah. Oh, he dead.
He gone. Yeah, totally. I was like, wow. I was not expecting Tom Wilkinson in this movie.
The first thing I have written down, and when we were getting prepped to do this, I go, what the fuck does that mean on my notes? And it just says, babies! Which is me responding to Emma Thompson, Kate Winslet, and Hugh Grant.
Oh my god.
Because they're all just cherubic. Yeah. Even Emma Thompson, who's almost, I think, a decade older than Kate Winslet.
Yeah.
They're just all like, babies.
Yeah, Hugh Laurie, when he comes in, you're like,
oh my gosh. House?
Yeah.
House?
Yeah, Dr. House is in this. And the woman who plays in
Imelda Staunton.
Yeah.
She's a champ, man.
She's so good. That, where I was going with that, in Harry Potter, she plays
Dolores Umbridge.
Yeah. And you're like, oh, wow, that's you 20 years before Dolores Umbridge comes
in.
And you're like,
she's also in the Branagh Much Ado About Nothing.
Right. Yeah, she's great.
I
too have that same thing of like, wow, everyone's so young.
Yeah.
The first thing I have written down is I love the music. Surprise.
Surprise.
But I don't really love the most of this music, but I like that the main theme that he has is really beautiful.
It's really great.
And he was nominated for an Academy Award for the score, which is kind of surprising because I'm like, it's fine.
It's a little stodgy. Like, yeah. It's
the main. He was nominated for the main theme.
Yeah,
that happens over the credits, and it really is a really beautiful sets the mood theme.
Yeah.
And the second thing I have down is screenplay by Emma Thompson.
Yeah.
Wow.
She adapted Jane Austen herself.
Right.
By
and
herself.
Won an Academy Award for it.
Yeah.
Over this year, that was the same year as Apollo 13, Braveheart. Like all of these are all the same. That same year that she won over. It's like, oh my gosh.
Well, Braveheart's script can go die in a fire, but.
Oh, okay. There it is. Guess we're not doing Braveheart on this podcast.
No, I love Braveheart.
Yeah.
I think that script is.
Is not good.
Bad.
Yeah. Well, and that was also an original screenplay. I wouldn't be in the same category.
Right.
But,
yeah.
But yeah, Apollo 13, it was.
Yeah.
Won over that one, and that's a good script.
Yeah. I think so.
Yeah, I think let's just start to kind of work through this.
Great.
I mean.
The first thing that I noticed about this, like, Jane Austen gets such a bad rap because you think Jane Austen, you immediately think, oh, it's a period costume drama. And
that's a romance.
Yeah.
For me, that's what I think.
And it is.
Yeah.
But it's interesting you mentioned, you know, earlier in your Kate Winslet mini bio about how Emma Thompson was in the casting room and, you know, had a big hand in this. Like, the actors in this movie are not... It's not stuffy. Like, it's this movie lives in a much more down-to-earth world than a costume drama. And as we move on, I'll try to point out a couple scenes where I'm like, oh, yes, that's why. Like, and my, like, the very first interactions we get with Tom Wilkinson and the son, but really the first time we're introduced to the daughters, there's no, like, air about anybody, right? Everybody's just speaking in their chest voice.
Mm-hmm.
They're just talking right here. Mm-hmm. Emma Thompson is especially. Kate Winslet's voice is just naturally a little bit higher at this point.
Right.
But I never get the idea that she's like putting on a voice to sound like a, you know, a young cherubic 20-year-old.
Right.
Or anything like that. You know, it's always very grounded and rooted. And I really like that about this. I think the women do it a lot more successfully than some of the men in this movie, with the exception of Hugh Laurie, and Oliver Hardy too is pretty good.
Yeah.
Yes, Hugh Laurie and Oliver Hardy. Yes, that's who I mean. Hugh Grant, however, listen, Hugh Grant does his Hugh Grant thing, and it's so Hugh Grant that it's just the right amount of Hugh Grant.
It's just so good. It's so perfect.
He, like, the first time he's introduced, he, like, meekly, I want to, like, get up and do it. But he's just, like, doing that, like, Hugh Grant, like, shuffle with the hunched shoulders and, like, the apologetic face.
Right.
And he, like, turns around.
I'm dashing. Right.
Yeah.
Of course.
Oh, I'm just, I'm a mumble charmer.
Totally. Totally.
Because this is what gets him Notting Hill, right?
I think so, yeah.
With Julia Roberts.
Yeah.
And yeah, so that first time he turns the corner and it's just, it's like, oh, what a doofus.
I know. Which is interesting because, like, I guess the Jane Austen Society wrote the production was like, Hugh Grant cannot play this character because he is too good looking. He needs to be more bumbling. And the production's like, no, get away. Get out of here with that weak shit.
Yeah. Yeah. I really like him.
Yeah, he's good
doing his Hugh Grant thing. Like, he's never going to be a world earth shatterer.
No.
He's got his tricks.
Mm-hmm.
And his tricks work.
Yep. Yeah, so. I agree completely. The first thing that I have written down here, the first kind of notice I have is the cinematography. Like, well, cinematography, art direction, costumes are stunning.
Yeah.
Like, stunning. The greens, the landscapes, or even inside the house when Tom Wilkinson's dying and he's like, all of these reds and luscious. And then you get to these, like, they costume each character so well with, like, the difference between the kind of blues and greens that Kate Winslet lives in with sort of, like, the creams and whatnot that Emma Thompson lives in. And it's so... And all of those, like, kind of dark, like, those hard curls that What's-Her-Face, who's the sister-in-law...
Who's the meanest.
The mean one you just want to strangle. You're like, yeah! What's her name?
Oh, gosh.
Jennings? No. Fanny Dashwood. Harriet Walter.
Yes.
The stories that the costumes tell, the design of it is gorgeous. And then the carrying out of it, the building, like, you know, I never doubt what world I'm in ever.
No.
Like,
you know exactly where you are.
And then, like, having the certain wallpapers that match the certain, and then, like, God, I can't get over some of these greens of the countryside. It's just stunning.
Yeah.
And then, like, when they leave their house and go to their poor house.
You mean when they leave the estate and go to the cottage on the other estate?
Yeah, exactly. That's what I mean. Their, quote, poor house. like in
it makes
that...
you sound, it makes it sound like they're in rags, like begging for tuppence. Like...
Look down. I'm still on Les Mis.
Told you'd be singing.
Dang it. I already crushed it. Anyway, yeah, the colors change from the sort of warm, and in The Journey, it's all rainy and cold and gray, and I think the story that the colors tell in this is really stunning, and the way that's carried out is gorgeous. And similarly, the directing of it, right? Like, Ang Lee, this is his first English language film, period, which is crazy that you're starting with Jane Austen.
Yeah, like, set the bar high, man. Yeah, no kid, right? Jeez.
Unbelievable. But there are so many cool shots that he has. Like, the choreography of when they're in the library, when... I'm going to preface this by saying, I am so bad with period piece names. I am so bad with these, because they're all, like... Same with Pride and Prejudice. Don't know. I know, like, Mr. Darcy and Elizabeth.
Wrong book.
I was gonna say, is that Jane Eyre? Like, what? I don't even remember. I'm so bad with these characters' names, so I'm gonna apologize ahead of time. So Eleanor and
if you just say Dashwood, you're gonna be like 80% right.
True, but whoever Hugh Grant's character is,
Edward Ferrars.
Yeah. So Edward is going into the library with his sister, and she's like, oh, blah 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 blah, and he sees Mary, not Marianne, the youngest daughter.
Margaret,
under the table
with the, yeah.
And she goes under, well, she first sees they're coming in, she goes under, has just a bit of the book out, he notices the book, uses his foot as it continues talking to go there, and then he moves over. The whole choreography of that is stunning.
Yeah.
It's really well shot.
One of my favorite shots of his is, occurs pretty close to that, where we see Edward walk, I think it actually is right before that, we see Edward walking with Eleanor.
Uh-huh.
And we see Mother Dashwood, Mrs. Dashwood. I almost called her Mother Goose. We see Mother Goose walking one way. We see them walking, yes. I think, into the library. And then we get this very coy pan up to see Fanny?
Yeah.
Is that her name? Is that what we decided?
Yeah, Walters.
Yes, to see Fanny. And it's just a great, like, it gives you that satisfaction of a chamber room drama where, like, you can feel the tension building. The audience, of course, is three steps ahead of it. Like, we know what's going to happen.
Right.
Because, I mean, Fanny is dressed in all black. Like, it's very archetypal and very straightforward. But it's just a really just well-executed shot that Ang Lee tells the story so well, where we move from one and... We leave this story, we follow the mother walking through the other direction, and then we do this slight pan up.
Yeah.
And it takes 12 seconds, but we get so much story.
Yeah, and instead of cutting it, like, cut, 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 the fact that it's one smooth moment...
It puts them all in the same space. Yeah, you understand exactly where they are.
Yep, absolutely. And it sets up this great story, because I'm so glad you brought that up, because I have that, like, as the very next one. Like, it sets up the sort of crucial, quintessential... element of this story, which is everybody's watching everybody and everybody's gossiping about everybody and everybody's trying to, like, figure out what's going on with everybody else, right? Like,
yeah,
that's, and we see that in that one thing, we're like, oh, this is what, okay.
Man, I love it too, because the stakes seems so high.
Oh, I know.
It means everything to everybody.
Yeah.
But when you, like, take a more global perspective of, like, what's happening in the world, you're like, oh, everybody's at war now? Yeah.
What decade is this in?
It's in the early 19th century, I would imagine.
Yeah. So we're like, War of 1812, is that what's happening right now?
Oh, man. Maybe.
But America's already had its independence.
Yeah.
Like, we're past 1700s.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, you, yes. Okay. We're in the early 1800s is what my assumption is.
Sure, yeah.
I'm really bad at nailing down periods like that.
Yeah.
We could look it up. But
no, that's all good.
Why bother?
That's for our Histories in the Buff podcast coming out next. No, just kidding.
Already released. Nobody listened.
No one listened. And it canceled. Yeah.
Never recorded an episode.
Oh, man.
It's just me taking note, doing voice memos on my iPhone.
That's what you've been doing at work. I was wondering.
Well, actually, it's not the French Revolution. It's the uprising. Yeah, okay. Way to go.
Oh, man. Well, you know, if I'm going to be singing on every podcast, you got to be giving me some...
Well, and what's the strangest thing is, like, I'm not even a history buff. Like, I'm just a
smart person who reads
the
almanac.
No, I just have stupid trivia in
my
head. I love
it. It's great, man. This is why I keep you around.
Oh, man. Oh, great. Brett the trivia bot.
Yep, exactly.
Give me a trivia. Give me a piece of trivia.
Be trivian.
Trivial?
Nope.
Okay.
Oh, man. Okay.
But moving forward.
Back onto this.
One of my, unless you have anything more to say about that stairwell scene.
Nope.
Okay. One of my favorite acting moments in the movie comes shortly thereafter, where Edward leaves. I think maybe for the first time. Not like leaves, but like goes away for the night.
Okay.
And Marianne goes into Eleanor's room, and they're kind of like doing their little chitter chatter. And, you know, to this point, like, it's again, a very, like, buttoned up, not drama, but romance. Yep. It falls strictly in the romance category. And Kate Winslet has this beautiful moment, and it's just why I think it's one of the reasons why we chose her to focus on this month, is, like, she just has this beautiful moment where she hops up on the bed and just asks, do you love him?
Right.
And it's just... Like, it's not like, do you love him?
Yeah, there's no wink about it.
It's just like, do you love him?
Yeah, she's genuine.
It's just so pure and perfect.
Oh, I know.
And rooted. And it's just, it's why this movie in particular, in my opinion, succeeds over a lot of costume dramas. Like, there are a lot of, you know, this movie is also interesting to consider in light of The Favorite, which is a Yorgos Lanthimos movie that's out right now, that is also... of a similar era, not exactly the same time, but like 50 years, you know, whatever it may be.
Yeah.
But it's still in the same like style, right? These people with a lot of wealth and their problems, wealthy right. people problems.
Right.
And that movie is very much like a send up of a costume drama.
Sure.
And this movie, while it doesn't parody costume and very much lives in its period, is not, it just, I can't emphasize enough how accessible it is.
Yeah.
Like, you hear Sense and Sensibility, you hear Jane Austen, you're like, oh, I hate that shit.
Right.
And you don't.
Right.
You don't. Right. I promise you, you don't.
You just haven't seen it done well. Right.
Watch Kate Winslet and Emma Thompson in this scene, and it immediately goes away.
I'm so glad you brought that up, because that's my next big thing here. So much of what we talk about is the directing also getting in the way. And it's like, he sets the camera and lets them go.
Yeah.
Thank you.
And this is from a director, keep in mind, that did Life of Pi.
Right.
Like,
right.
Huge CGI budget. He's also, you know, he also did Brokeback Mountain with these huge sweeping landscapes. But he knows when to just put the camera in a place and let his actors
do the because thing. That scene is largely in profile for both of those actresses, which is like stunning that scene still affects me such, because it's like the moment I think of in that is when Kate Winslet, Marianne grabs Eleanor's hand.
Oh, yeah.
And there's just this like sisterly, it's just the details in this movie. That's another thing that I've been tracking through this movie is the attention to detail and all these little things. But like that little detail, that little story that's told that was intended, like completely not planned out, right? Like, I'm going to tell this story by grabbing her hand here. It was like, it was just an authentic, genuine thing. Gorgeous. It's so stunning. And there's such a, you start to see the difference in like the flaws in both Marianne and Eleanor, and the strengths in both of their flaws and how they complement each other, which I think is really beautiful.
Yeah.
And that's my next note. Such attention to detail in this movie. Great. like, and I think that note was when the sister Fanny is looking out the window at Edward and Eleanor walking down, and Emma Thompson just leaves her left hand down, and Hugh Grant's right hand is near, and you can tell that like she's trying to get as close as possible to maybe a holding of hand, but we can't do that yet. And then her shawl drops.
Yeah.
It doesn't drop. She allows it to fall.
Right.
Right? Which is like such a tiny, tiny, tiny detail, which is the brilliance of Emma Thompson.
It's a great choice.
Incredible. That allows the touching to happen in a purely, quote, platonic way. And all of this is done with their backs to us with no dialogue.
Yep.
And that attention to detail, that tiny little thing of just how close the backs of their hands are when they're walking, that just perchance they glance each other. Oh man, I just love that. And there's so many of those moments in here. And then I have Emma is brilliant.
Yeah. And Dame Emma.
Dame. Is she a dame now?
She recently got her damehood.
Congratulations.
She was knighted. Yeah.
Fucking incredible. She's one of the best actresses living.
She's great. She's incredible. Just is so like, doesn't get enough credit for how good she is.
Oh yeah, absolutely. I agree. I mean, the fact that she's one of the only people to have won an Academy Award for acting and screenwriting.
And writing,
which is cool.
What did she win it for acting for?
I looked this up, and I'm going to look it up again because I had not seen this movie.
Howard's End?
I think it's Howard's End.
Yeah.
I think it's Howard's
End. Which is now a TV show that's not as good.
She's been nominated for a bunch of stuff, but yeah, Howard's End is the movie, which was in 92. Yeah. So like, not much earlier than this, which is crazy because I think of Emma Thompson in a lot of the roles in her, quote, later career as being just as good, if not, I can't say if not better, but just as good as all of these other ones.
Oh, absolutely. She's in Saving Mr. Banks. That movie has its flaws and had its own, you know, hullabaloo. But she's excellent as P.L. Travers in that. She, I mean, even in a movie as trite and saccharine as Love Actually.
Oh, yeah.
Her storyline in that with Alan Rickman
is,
Hugh Laurie, Alan Rickman, Emma Thompson. all were in that
Hugh
movie.
Hugh Grant, not Laurie.
Well,
but yeah,
you know what I mean.
One of the Hughes.
Hughes.
Yeah.
Yes.
I know. Totally. I thought that too. And I have a, watching this, I was like, how interesting it is to see them like at the kind of beginning and later in their
what
career.
What does Ang Lee's Love Actually look like?
Man, it looks like Brokeback Mountain.
Yeah, probably.
In an airport. Oh, man. But to your point, like,
oh, man.
In that, Alan Rickman and Emma Thompson in Love Actually, that scene where she, you know, where she approaches him and she's at the school. I know we're not doing Love Actually, but she's at the school after the play and she just goes, "You made a fool of me." Like, I is some of the best acting I've ever, like, it's un-fucking believable.
She's just the best.
And their scenes together, jumping forward a little bit, but their scenes together in this, I have a note somewhere written in here, like, all day. I will watch them on screen in a scene together all day.
What's so interesting too is because they don't want anything romantic from either one of
right.
from each other.
Right.
They have nothing to offer each other in that way, and it's so interesting the way that relationship is played up in this movie, because mm-hmm. as a viewer, you're like, are they going to get together?
Right, because they like, look like
they should
be.
They're both of the same age. Like, should they get together? Like,
and they got together in Love Actually,
wouldn't it just be easier?
Yeah, right, totally. No, I agree completely. And the fact that it is simply like it's so interesting. Ah, it's so layered. I just can't, it's just so good.
Yeah.
We'll talk more about when we get there, but.
So they move to their poorhouse.
Wait, more thing before that. On the, just the last thing I have here on Emma Watson, not Emma Stone, Emma Thompson. Wrong Emmas. Okay. Is that like in the scene in the stables is another time where you see the brilliance of Emma Thompson. So Hugh Grant
yes.
is like, hey, I have to tell you something. And she gives you a book to read from her eyes.
Right.
She's just like, and you can just see everything. What are you going to say? I want you to say what you want me to say. Like, I'm speechless. I mean, the way that she is so present and so like, tell me, like,
right.
the you can see like action, you know, coursing from her. It's unbelievable. You know
that's
what I mean?
And that's what actors should do.
Yeah.
And watching somebody like her do a scene where she doesn't have to, where she doesn't get to speak. And then watching somebody else do that scene, you're like, why do they seem vacant?
Right.
Oh, because they're not thinking.
Right. Right. Yeah. I know exactly who's on the other side of the camera and I know what she wants him to say, what she's hoping for, what she's scared of, what she like. And this all happens in 3 seconds with no lines. And I think that's incredible.
Yeah.
Okay, now we're at the poorhouse.
Oh my gosh. Robert Hardy shows up in his little trolley carriage, whatever you want to call
with
it.
With all of his
with
dogs?
All those freaking dogs, man. And so, again, this is another Harry Potter. Imelda Staunton is also in this movie. Alan Rickman, of course, is in the Harry Potter franchise. But so is Robert Hardy. He plays Cornelius Fudge.
Okay.
And Cornelius Fudge is kind of a bumbling whatever.
Emma Thompson's also in Harry Potter.
Oh, yeah, Trelawney, right. Yeah.
Anyway,
yeah.
Continue.
There's only like 7 British actors. That's about right, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Is Branagh in this movie?
Yeah, I know, right? David Tennant's not in this movie, is he?
He's actually one of the dogs.
Yeah, right. Surprise. He's the Scottish.
Twist.
He's a Scottish Terrier. Oh, man.
We all knew he was good.
Yeah. His transformation in this movie, incredible.
Oh,
anyway,
Lord.
Back to the poorhouse.
But man, the dog. Please, sir, can I have some more? The dogs, man.
Yeah.
There's like 6 dogs, and he just comes stumbling. And there's like no regard for them. It's not like trying to keep them in line. It's just like.
Yeah, right.
He's like Ghost of Christmas Present, right?
Dude.
Doesn't give a flying fuck.
You know,
he and his wife
he's
are
stumbling
just
over him like. Like, as soon as his character pulled up,
and
I
this
was
guy's
like,
a knight, by the way.
Right. Yeah. He pulls up, and I'm like, spirit animal. I am that guy. And if I'm in this movie, I am that guy. Like, pulls up with 6 dogs in this thing, and then he's just like, oh, yes, how fun. Let's have a party. You know, like, he's awesome.
Yes.
He's like, him and his, is it his mother who he's with?
Or is his it his wife? Mother or his wife?
I thought
know.
It was. I can't remember. I don't. That's another thing I had trouble in this was like following the bloodlines and who's related to who besides the Dashwoods and the Ferrars or Ferrers. But either way, like those two characters are the breath of fresh air that comes in. That's just like, you're right. Christmas present comes in. Boom. Party. Hilarious.
Yeah.
Okay. This brings me to my segment of, I have some questions. So we keep seeing Kate Winslet playing the piano in this.
Yep.
And we hear a grand...
Is it a piano or is it a harpsichord?
It's a pianoforte, which is like kind of the in-between.
I thought pianoforte means she just played it strong.
No. No. Aw, Fred. Tap, tap. No, that's a good point. So a harpsichord is something different than a piano, which is different than a pianoforte.
I didn't know that a harpsichord and a piano are different instruments.
Yeah, very different instruments. Yep. Harpsichord
I know what things are.
Oh, man. No, this is good. This is why you keep me around, right? Harpsichord.
Sure.
More or less. More or less.
I gave John around for his knowledge of musical instruments.
Which is not a lot, so I'm going to exhaust that real quick in about 3 minutes. So the pianoforte, from my understanding, is the in-between between like what we think of a piano now, like a Steinway baby grand piano, and the harpsichord.
Okay.
Either way, it doesn't sound
like
what we're hearing, because we're hearing a studio piano playing that thing, and she sits down and plays it. I'm like, uh-uh, nope, absolutely not. It sounds more like a harpsichord than what we think of as a piano.
Gotcha.
Because you look at the way it looks, right? It's not long.
Right.
So you have a lot more tinny of the strings, right? Because the strings aren't as long to give the deep bass and everything. Also, they live in the country. Like, these things are not going to be in tune.
Probably not.
Especially at the poorhouse.
John, it is a very quaint 4-bedroom cottage. They still have 2 servants.
Hey, compared to my apartment, it's a poorhouse.
They're doing okay.
You shut your mouth when I'm talking to you.
As your radiator goes rattling.
At least I don't have to put on extra socks at night. Anyway, that was something.
Very, very true. Your feet are cold.
Yeah. I love that scene. Like, that scene didn't have to be in there.
No.
Like, the fact that, like, she walks in and it's all in dark and you see her, like, rushing around, like, I'm fucking cold. I'm going to get this. Okay, I'm going to get into bed. And then you just hear, your feet are cold. And then she, oh, shit. And she, like, walks up and gets the socks on and comes back in. I love it. It's such a great, like, what a great thing. That was so good. And Kate Winslet singing. I didn't know she could sing.
Yeah.
She has a beautiful voice.
Yeah.
You knew she could sing?
I only knew from my knowledge of this movie.
Yeah.
I can't think of anything contemporary that she sings in. Other than like maybe, I feel like she's maybe had like just like singing as a character, like walking down a sidewalk type thing.
Yeah.
Maybe she might do that in Eternal Sunshine.
I think she does in Eternal Sunshine, but this is like legit singing. Like,
yeah.
Like oh shit, you can sing.
Yeah.
Wow. I'm more attracted to her. She's incredible. She's so beautiful. Oh my gosh. This is the other spirit animal part about Sir John. They have him, he says a joke, and then it's a dumb joke, and it's a dumbass pun, and then he laughs at his own joke for like 30 seconds. Like, they leave the camera on him, and normally it'd be like, ha, 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 cut away. Nope. He says whatever the dumb joke that he says, and then he just laughs at his own dumb pun for a solid, like, 10 seconds of laugh so hard at that.
Yes. It's great.
Spirit animal. Sir John. I'm all
Whereas
Sir John.
My spirit animal is Emma Thompson trying to get the knot out of Kate Winslet's hat.
Yes, that is your spirit animal.
Because, like, it's obvious. I don't know. To me, it seems that this scene is probably directed to be like Kate Winslet comes bustling in the house after what I forget what they're doing, lawn bowling maybe at that time.
Yeah, I don't remember.
I forget the order of events. There's so many times where she's like hanging out with the Colonel, and then Willoughby shows. Oh, no, this is before Willoughby. This is with the Colonel. And so she comes back in and she has the hat and it's like stuck around her neck, and Emma Thompson's like trying to untie it as Kate Winslet like walks away, and she comes back into the room still trying to untie it.
Yeah.
And like you can understand that that was like supposed to happen, but then they really couldn't get it undone.
Yeah.
And you like see them both fighting at it.
Yeah, totally.
Oh, it's so great.
It's so good. And that's what I'm saying. The little details in this movie, like the knot, that's such a great detail. And a bunch of those tiny little details make this movie so, so, so well put together.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like you don't, I don't think you see this kind of movie anymore. Like,
yeah.
To be fair, and to be completely honest, I'm not attracted to this type of movie. Like,
no, I mean, it certainly feels of an era.
And like when Keira Knightley's Pride and Prejudice came out, I didn't see it. I haven't seen that movie. So
I
like,
either.
And I know they did Pride and Prejudice and Zombies. I did see that one. No, I didn't see that one, but I know they did it. But I know they did a remake of Sense and Sensibility with, what's his face from in, gosh, I keep wanting to say Maniac, but it's not that, Legion. I don't remember. Anyway, so he's in the new Sense and Sensibility, which I didn't see either.
I didn't know there was a new one.
Yeah, I think it was a...
Dan Stevens,
that's what it was. And I think Felicity... there's another... It was like a pretty good cast from what I saw, but I... Anyway, all of this... I'm rambling a little bit, but all of this is to say, when I say that this is different than other movies of this type, I don't know if I can speak with authority because I haven't seen a lot of these movies.
Oh, it was a miniseries.
Yeah, it was a miniseries.
Gotcha.
BBC, yeah. But I feel like this is a, like, I feel like you don't see this type of movie anymore. I feel like they do a period piece. It's not this.
No.
Or it's not this good. It's like you said, it's a little more inaccessible. It's a little more like, oh, we are now in a period piece and we are doing, you know.
Or it's the exact opposite. It's like a steampunk version or, it's drawing attention to how preposterous, you know, that era was or whatever it may be,
which,
you know?
That was something that I thought was really good about this movie, that they were like, they had those little hints where you can see that Emma Thompson was like, this is absurd, but it's not on the nose.
Right.
You know, where like she's on the horse with Hugh Grant and she's like, you know, he says, oh, so we're in the same boat basically. And she's like, yeah, except when you die, when you like, you get to keep all your inheritance.
Right. While she's riding side saddle.
Right. Absolutely. Yeah. And you're like, oh shit, drop that mic.
Yeah.
Okay. So Willoughby comes in.
Right. Well, first, I have some questions.
Okay, Brett, I have some questions.
I'm only going to have two of these segments in this podcast. Okay. They both involve Kate Winslet running outside.
Okay, good.
The first one is, she trips down a hill and dies? Like, like, who has ever been injured that much from falling down a hill 3 feet?
Well, she broke her ankle.
But he did. She didn't.
Right. Well, it's more serious back then.
They have bristle bones.
Yeah. Right.
She had rickets.
She's already in her middle ages by 20.
Oh,
you
my
know?
God.
No, yeah, but that's a good point. And when she saw, when that happened, I was like, wait, okay, so she tripped. I was expecting her to get back up and be like, oh, ha, 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 I fell.
Right.
And like, keep
so
running.
If this is a perfect example. If this movie were made today, in 2019, you see Marianne maybe take off, like, full-fledged sprint across this open grass.
Yeah.
And then trip and...
get hit in the face by a tree.
Or, yeah, she trips and twists her ankle in a tree root or something,
right,
that's a little more not like this very polite grassy knoll.
Right.
You know?
Absolutely. Yeah.
And maybe there's a thunderstorm as opposed to, like, a light mist.
Right. Yeah, totally. Yeah, or she slips on a rock or, you know, something... that feels more perilous.
Right. The ground gives way as she's running along a cliffside or.
Right. Into a well, and then she's taken up by bats.
Oh my God.
Batwoman. What's your second? I have some questions.
We'll get to it later.
Okay. Okay. So I really love the scene after Willoughby leaves for the first time, and it's all the sisters, and they're all giddy. Right.
Right.
And,
a flutter.
Right. And it's such a great, authentic moment, I feel. I say that in that way because I'm like, it's difficult talking about it as like a man not having been exactly in that scenario. And I feel like some of this is a little stereotypical and might not be as truthful, but they play it very truthfully.
Yeah.
And so like Kate Winslet's on the couch and the mom rushes out and right as I'm thinking like, but wait, who's this guy's name? She goes, his name, you know, and the mother's like, oh, right. Oh, good sir. You know, well, how can we thank you? And Emma Thompson's running around the house and like little
Margaret's
like all giddy and everything. And I was like, that's such a good moment.
Yeah.
And then he comes back and now we're at the sonnet. At which point I have, oh man, he good.
Right, right. That sonnet's great. Right before that, though, there's a great comic moment where Marianne's kind of being a little bullish. And, like, I forget what is exactly said. I think Eleanor said something like, you need to do something before your ankle swells up or whatever it is. And she goes, you know, blah, blah, blah. You were right to help me, Eleanor. Like, you know?
Right. Yeah, totally.
I just love, there's so many great little quips.
Oh, I know.
That exist in this comic world.
Yeah.
All right. Sonic 116.
Yeah, he finishes her line and I'm like, I literally wrote, oh man, he good.
Yeah, he's...
He is smooth as hell. I gotta take some notes from that guy. Except not the bad parts.
Yeah, except maybe don't lie?
Right. Yeah, exactly.
Maybe don't be a money-grubbing whore?
Like, yeah, seriously. And I have written here, poor Brandon. Brandon gets shat on. Like, this whole time, like...
It's tragic, man.
He's a tragic character.
He ends up with the woman that he wants, who eventually wants him, but he goes through these trials and tribulations. Like, we know before we even see him, really, like, his story about how he was in love with this woman who left and
right.
Or died? Left
well,
or died?
She was a servant.
Yeah.
And so his mother said no.
Below his station.
Right. Yeah. And so then he went off to war. He came back and she had been through the ringer with like five different men and was in diseases
right,
and then
right,
died.
Right. Yes. Okay.
And we later find out that she had a child with a different man or whatever. But yeah, I mean, and Alan Rickman is so perfect for that. Like, he just has that weight of like, I've seen some shit and
he's
I'm getting
so,
through.
He's so morose.
Yeah.
Like, it's just... There's no expectation in his eyes that things are going to go well for him.
Right.
And
yet he's still going forward.
He expects things to go poorly.
Right. Yeah. But he doesn't wallow.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, that's the trap of that character is that he wallows. Yeah. Oh, man. So I have here, apparently the way to win Kate Winslet over is to just spin her. They go on a picnic and he picks her up and starts spinning her. I'm like, oh, that's the key to her heart, apparently. Flash forward to Titanic next week.
Oh, man. And I think they do that on the beach at Montauk.
Probably.
In Eternal
Sunshine. Oh, man. Oh, that's so good.
Oh, that's fantastic.
I love the shot of all three of them crying and Emma Thompson just like, like, it's such a perfect setup, and I know what's going to happen, but, like, from the way the camera angle shot, you can see, like...
Right. Everybody, like, goes to their room. Like, Margaret has tea for Marianne. Is that what it is?
Right.
And Margaret's like, she's not listening to me.
Well, first the mother comes up. You're like, oh,
right.
I'm such a... And then she goes
and
to her
room
and
starts
crying.
Right.
Then...
And then Margaret is like, she's not, you know, trying to get her attention. And then she storms off because she's so sad about him leaving or whatever it is.
Yeah.
And Emma Thompson's like left with the tea. All the doors are closed. All three women are crying. And like, she's just like, I'm going to sit down and have some tea.
Yeah,
like,
right. She's like, I
can't deal with this
shit. Yeah, exactly. She's like, oh, what else? I'm too old for this shit. Right. Like, just goes. And it's so well shot. I love that moment. My very next note is, Hugh Laurie gives me life.
Dude, his one-liners in this.
So good. Do you have written down his first, like, one-liner that he gives his wife?
I think so,
I don't have it written down. It might not even be funny because it's something like, hardly, or something where it's just like...
I have him quoted as saying, if only you would stop.
That's definitely one of them.
And then I have something about 5.5, and he just goes, try.
Oh, I think that was the first. That was the one I was thinking of. Yeah, she's like, ooh, 5.5? Try. Yeah.
Yeah.
God, and the little thing, like, again, these details, right, where, like, he's reading the paper and she comes up and, like, grabs the corner of it, and then he, like, he looks at her and stares daggers in her eye and then just, like, slowly tries to uncrumple his, like, one source of joy in his world. he's so good. He's so good.
He's excellent. Like, man. And he doesn't really do a whole lot in this movie other than just be the dry comic relief.
Yeah.
Because Imelda Staunton is just going 100 miles a minute.
Dude, when she like first gets excited when Lucy's telling Eleanor about, like, ooh, there's a guy I'm in love with and we've been engaged for 5 years, and but it's in secret, right? And in that scene, the mother, Imelda Staunton's mother, right, goes, I must know what you're talking about right now. And then Charlotte runs over in excitement. She goes, I lost it. Hilarious. Yeah. So good.
Oh, man. Another one of my favorite scenes. Doesn't have any of them in it, but it's when Marianne comes into the room that they're sharing at the cottage.
Yeah.
And she goes, are you asleep? And Eleanor just goes, with you in the room?
Right. At the same time, like, crying.
Yeah. Right. Just, ugh, like, having the hardest day.
Right.
Because she's just learned that, or she thinks what she's learned is her betrothed, or the man that she loves, has learned.
Has learned, yeah. At that point, they've been engaged for 5 years.
Yeah.
Yep. And I love all those scenes between Eleanor and Lucy, like, the brilliance of Emma Thompson plays through, because she has all of this shit and feeling going on underneath that we can all feel, and this layer on top of, like, I need to be cordial, I need to be nice, I need to be business-esque, and I need to keep arrears or whatever, you know, like, and it's so hard to do, like, to play all of those things at once, you know what I mean? Like, oh my God, it's so
right.
good.
Right, all Eleanor's, you know, Emma Thompson doesn't get enough credit for this movie. All of the work she does is just, she just gets so mired in her own, like, she's met this man who she thinks is finally the answer for her, and then spends the entire movie just being, like, trying to be happy for other people.
Right.
And trying to just negotiate what that means with it. Like, she's like, I'm going to be single the rest of my life. Like, I'm going to be an old maid. Like, it's just heartbreaking.
Yeah.
And, you know, we'll get to it, but it builds and it builds and it builds and it builds, and it finally just, like, empties.
Yeah.
And it's beautiful.
Yeah. I mean, as this story builds, and we can get there. I mean, we're kind of almost already there, but, like, so.
I mean, we've just gotten to Chelsea, John.
Oh. Oh, well, excuse me.
Chelsea.
Brett's watching a lot of soccer. You know, honestly, like, once they get to London, I kind of stopped writing a lot, because
yeah,
I was, like, just kind of watching and enjoying and whatever. And there wasn't a lot happening for
It kind of feels like they recycle a lot of the plot points,
yeah,
right?
Yeah,
it just kind of feels like there's this ebb and flow of expectations of something going to happen. Oh, no, it's this other thing because he wants money, or he's, you know, engaged to somebody else, or he has to go away to war, whatever.
Right, and I'm already ahead of the thing of, like, I know that Marianne's going to get fucked over.
Yeah.
Like, we know that as soon as he leaves, and Eleanor goes, he was a little guilty, it was something different, and all of us go, yeah, okay, yeah, he's a sleaze. But we still have to experience the whole thing. So I think a lot of that time of the movie went a little slow for me.
I agree.
Which I don't think it's in the screenplay. I think that's just the story.
Right. If you're adapting the novel to get to the end, to get to the payoff, it has to be
there. You
got to
go through that.
It has to be there.
But the scene where the secret all comes out, and it's between Kate Winslet and Emma Thompson, is really good. Like, you've been holding this from me for this long, and why? And, like, I mean, all of their scenes in general, like, are just phenomenal.
Yeah.
Like, I think it's when, like, I'm, like, skipping way ahead on that one, but, so let me back up a bit. Kate Winslet gets sick.
Do we want to get there now?
I mean, do you have anything else before?
I've got a couple.
Okay, go for it.
Just a couple small things. Great, another great quick Kate Winslet moment. She sees Willoughby across the dance floor at the at the ball, and she just goes, Willoughby!
Yeah, and everything stops.
Right. And here are these, like, you know, they're not country bumpkins, but they're dressed like country bumpkins compared to the, I mean, Chelsea, even at this time, is a very posh area very elite part of, you know, it's southeast London. And everything stops, and you just see, like, Willoughby, I think, actively gulps.
Yeah.
Like, you see his Adam's apple just go, like, here we go.
Right. Oh, shit.
Because she's not accusing him in that moment. She's, like, excited to see him.
Yeah.
And then you just watch her world fall apart.
Oh, my God.
And it's just I think that her... I'm more interested in Marianne's arc through this, like, London area. I think it's a little more interesting.
Yeah.
Just watching her crack and crumble.
Mm-hmm.
All the way until they return.
Well, and to your point in that, like, the story that's told as well in that, like, seeing all the people from the country come in and it's so apparent that they're not from this world.
Right.
Was
because
told really
even,
well.
Even prior to this, they lived in Devonshire,
mm-hmm.
which is southeast England, like almost Wales. It's on the south coast out by Portsmouth.
Yeah.
I think that's the town, Portsmouth. At least that's how I understand the geography of where they're from.
Yeah.
Anyway, doesn't matter. It okay. doesn't. It doesn't. matter. It doesn't matter at all.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter at all. But yes. Yeah, so I wanted to mention that scene at the ballroom. But then yes, then we get Eleanor's confession of like, of why Edward was being so like enigmatic. Is that what I have written? I can't read my own handwriting.
Oh, good.
But no, it's yeah. But it's that like yeah, you're hiding all of this from me.
Right. Why did you hide?
Why
it?
Did you? Why did you suffer in silence?
Right.
Which
that, after what I've been through the last year, like that idea really rang out of like, why did you suffer in silence? Why didn't you tell anybody this big secret? And I'm like,
right.
Yeah, I feel you. Cause it's not, it's, I can't, I couldn't, I was
right.
not, I couldn't tell anybody. I couldn't tell that. And that torture of what you go through on your own and you know, you did it on your own is like so difficult. And that's something that Emma Thompson did so well in this. And you just see their relationship continuing to evolve, like they evolve as characters and their sisterly bond keeps evolving too by this point, right? Like
yeah.
we've already had the thing of like she's writing, you know, earlier in the movie Marianne's writing Willoughby and Eleanor says, please tell me what he said, did he act like what happened?
Yeah,
she said, why should I tell you, because I'm your sister. Well, yeah,
you wouldn't tell
you
yeah.
wouldn't say anything to me. And she's silent because she's like, you're right.
You're right. I've been hiding this.
Right.
Yeah.
And so to get to that point, and then we get to the point where, you know, just kind of finishing this evolution of the sisterly track when Marianne is on her deathbed and that gorgeous scene that Eleanor has where you finally first see her walls break.
Yeah.
And she cries and says, I can't, don't leave me. You have to fight. You have to. Oh my God, so good. So, so good. I know I skipped some stuff, but just finishing that sisterly arc, that.
I only have a couple things in between that, including my I have some questions.
Yeah.
Which is just becoming a segment.
Yeah, absolutely.
They're both Hugh Laurie things, though. First, Hugh Laurie and that baby, that look
oh
he
my
gives
God.
That baby,
so
he just
good.
Like cannot be bothered.
Yeah.
Just ill.
And meanwhile, we have her saying, oh, he takes to the baby so well. I've never seen anyone like take to someone so quickly. And he's just holding him like 3 feet away from him. Like, you know that baby just had explosive diarrhea. And he's like, I am not. I don't hear. Somebody take this.
Yep.
I love that.
Yep. Yep. Oh, boy. And then the other line. Well, if it rains, she'll be wet through. Thank you for pointing that out.
I know. Hugh Laurie is so good in
it's
this.
It's really great.
He's so good.
But, so, this is where I have some questions. So, Marianne...
yeah, I know where you're going.
Takes a little stroll. She's like, I'm going to stay in the garden. Eleanor's like, it might rain. She's like, it's fine. I'll be fine.
You always say that, and then it does.
Yeah. And so she strolls down to Willoughby's house. She's like, oh, that motherfucker Willoughby. And then it rains a little bit, and then she almost dies.
And then she has... yeah, exactly. I know.
Like, I presumptively she catches, like, pneumonia or...
a fever.
Maybe she has, like, pink eye. Like, what...
She has a really bad cold, which
right. It's the one thing where I'm like, that logic. We understand that just necessarily being wet doesn't make you sick,
right?
Like, that's not how it works.
Yeah, we're missing a scene there where we see her like that she's been out there
all night,
a day and a half.
Yeah, just sitting on the hill.
Right, and she's, yeah, totally. We need that scene, because I had the same thing. I'm like, oh, he brought her back, and it mirrors, like, when Willie B brought her back, and then she's going to put her down on the couch, and then she'll have some tea, and everything's going to be fine. Oh, no, she has pneumonia, I guess, from being out there for an hour and a half? Yeah, and then that didn't give me the full emotional payoff of what I was, what it should have. Like, we need to, like, especially with that character, be like, oh, no, oh my God, no, she can't die, what, no. Yeah. But this, I'm still like, but she's not gonna, she was just out there for a couple hours.
Yeah. Yep. I do love the moment after we get through a little bit of the bed scene where Colonel Brandon's like, give me something to do.
Yeah.
Like, give me anything to latch on to. And the
recognition that Emma Thompson has of like, right, I will give you something. Right. Like there, whatever that
it would
moment.
Be very helpful if her mother was here.
Right. And that gives me, yes, great.
Purpose.
I have
it
a,
gives
purpose.
A purpose.
Oh my God. That's such a good, that little detail is so good.
Yeah.
And then my last note that I have, that doctor is useless. He does nothing. He's like, this is the best doctor I know. Okay, great. Doctor comes in. He's like, oh, let me feel her forehead. Oh, she's ill. And then we come back later, feels her forehead again. Oh, she's getting worse.
Then he falls asleep.
Right. Then he falls asleep. No, and then right before then he goes, ah, she's not performing as well as I would hoped. I'm like, what do you mean? You touched her forehead. Of course she's not going to do anything. You haven't done anything for her. And then he, like, of course he does the bloodletting and whatever.
Yeah.
I'm like, what a fucking idiotic thing that ever was. But I'm glad that they showed that that's what would have happened. And that's probably what made her worse, right?
Yeah, probably.
Is that, which goes to show how useless that fucking doctor was.
It's terrible.
It's funny.
But I got a couple more things.
Yeah.
I love when Edward comes back and they're all standing in there. And Margaret's the first one to chime in. She goes, we've been having very fine weather.
Yeah.
And Marion hits her.
Yeah. And then he goes, oh, right.
The
roads were quite dry.
Dry. Yes. And then
that whole scene, he lets it sit so well to have like that. And they play off that awkward, like, yo, all three of, we're all on the same side here. We know what you did to our sister, but we're going to be courteous. But
yep. And then that final release of emotion that get from Emma Thompson. Like, it's all been built to me. It's all been building to that.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
Like, she just like can't, she's so joyful, has such like, has now been pushed past her brim. Like, it just comes flooding out everything that she's been holding in.
Yeah.
And it's just such a great payoff.
It really is. And the fact that like, the fact that she, we get that payoff without the like hour and a half straight performance. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
they filmed this all out of order or whatever. She comes in to do the scene or whatever. But I feel like she's been doing this for 2 hours.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yep.
And it reminded me of the thing that our acting teacher, Ray Dooley, would say about, like, about, or maybe it was Scott, but when doing Chekhov and you have a bowl full of water and all of these characters have this giant punch bowl full of water and it's filled to the brim and you have to walk around and every once in a while a little bit spills out. But other than that, you got to try and keep it in. And it's like, that's what her character was for me this whole time. It's like, oh, a little bit spilled out here, but I got to make sure I maintain this punch bowl of water. And then, like, at the end,
yeah,
I can't anymore.
She can let it go.
Yeah.
Right.
And it is, you're right. It's so, so, so. And she's hyperventilating, and it's every emotion. It's joy, it's sadness. I mean, it's just emotion. So good.
Yeah.
So good. And it makes me want to, like, I want to see this cast on stage.
Yeah.
Like,
hell
do
yes.
That. That would be amazing. Right?
They're a little past the characters.
Well, not now,
point,
but, like,
but yeah.
I wish that would have been a Broadway production. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I would love to have seen that on stage. Because I had never seen this movie before, and I've never read the book. Have you read the book?
Nope. I read a chapter in high school once.
Yeah. My kind of like parting, like, is like, Alan Rickman is like 25 years older than Kate Winslet in this movie.
Yep.
The character is supposed to be like 10 years older, But it really does not read well at all.
By the time they get married, I just don't... I feel like, again, we're missing a scene. Like, I don't ever see the scene where Kate Winslet is... Or where Marianne is okay with that situation.
And even still, it just doesn't feel like those two characters are right for each other in it. Yeah. You know, like... Because Marianne is sort of like Brandon's replacement for his young... impulsive romantic love from 20 years ago, and she just doesn't want to get hurt again. I don't know, like, I just don't it doesn't sit well with me. Like, yeah, okay, I can see the Edward and Eleanor together thing, but like, Hugh Grant should have ended up with Kate Winslet if we're looking at like actors, right? Like,
yeah, sure.
Actor types. And Alan Rickman and Emma Thompson are more paired well together. I don't know.
Yeah.
And I don't know, a lot of that, like you said, maybe it's a missing scene, maybe it is in the book, maybe it's the writing, I'm not sure, but I don't know. I didn't have that, like, feel-good payoff of, like, oh, everything ends happy for me.
Yeah.
That I was expecting.
Yeah, I agree.
Judi Dench Award?
Emma Thompson.
Yeah?
For me, yeah.
I have to give it to the ensemble.
Yeah.
I mean, Kate Winslet's amazing, but I can't say that she's better than Emma Thompson, and I can't say that... I mean, like we said with Hugh Grant, you know, Hugh Laurie. Oh, God, it's so fucking good. And
yeah,
so John,
such
and,
a scene stealer.
I mean, all of them are so good. And I'm going to include, like, ensemble as, like, a theatrical ensemble, like, including the art direction, because the cinematography was breathtaking, and I really enjoyed the directing of it, too, you know?
Yeah.
So that's mine. When do you watch this?
I think this is a great, like, when you're feeling a little romantic. Like, there's a time and a place for that, and I think this is a great movie that fits that mold.
Yeah, totally. Similar for me. I say this is a good, like, springtime movie.
Sure.
Like April, May, or May, June, and it's like, hey, you know, go on a picnic and then come home and watch Sense and Sensibility. You know,
yeah.
Like, have it make a day out of it, because this is so out of the ordinary for like a New Yorker type thing or whatever.
Right.
Even everyday life. It's like, no, a lot of this movie breathes really well and there's a simplicity to it. So take that and put that into your life for a day. Turn your phone off for the day and like, oh, let's go to a park and read a book out loud. You know, like parts of it. Let's read sonnets back and forth.
Yes.
Brett, I'm asking you. We're going to, you and me. Oh, Brett's gotta go. He gone.
No, I gotta go.
I gotta go.
No. Yeah, let's go read sonnets together.
We did 3 years of it. It was called grad school. Yeah.
Let me not the marriage of true minds.
Let's make butt reservations.
That's a Coriolanus joke. Oh, it's a Coriolanus joke.
Oh man, we're doing a Sir John, just laughing too much at our own jokes.
Yep.
Cool. Well, this has been fun.
Yeah, man.
Did I miss anything? Like, no. did we check all the boxes?
This I think we got everything.
Our first podcast back, and I'm like, okay, wait a minute. How do we do this? Did we do everything? Well, this is fun. Brett, it's always a pleasure.
Indeed.
We're going to be watching a lot of romantic movies this month. I'm already preparing for next week with Titanic.
A lot of romantic movies. I mean, okay. Yeah, these first two, and then kind
Eternal
of Sunshine.
Yeah, there's some definitely romantic stuff.
And then not so much the other two.
No, The Reader, there's some steamy stuff, but.
And then Revolutionary Road, there is the opposite.
There is the opposite. It was what happens when romance goes away.
Yeah.
So that'll be fun. This will be a fun month, and I'm excited to see sort of the growth of Kate Winslet, because she's already so fucking good in this
champion.
Movie. Like, unbelievable. Cool. Well, hit us up on Facebook and Instagram at Movies in the Buff, Twitter at Buff Movies, email us at watchingmoviesinthebuff@gmail.com. Drop us a line, say hello, give us some tips, let us know how you're liking it. Please rate and review and subscribe. If people are looking for a new podcast to listen to going back to work, send our name along.
Yeah.
Help us out. All right, and with that,
take it to the baby town.
Take it to the baby town.
For the baby town. Beacon.
Beacon.
Am I saying beer can or bacon? No one knows.
No one knows.